everyone. Welcome to Wired Wrestling. It has been a very long time since we have had a podcast here talking about wrestling. Actually, it's been about 5 months.
Has it been that long? Jeez.
Yeah.
It's all been a haze for me.
Right.
Well,
I think the whole reason behind it was you tried to take Phil Levine into rehab, but something is like going wrong with him.
Yeah, he apparently still works for this show, doesn't he?
Yeah, he I look at him right now and, you know, he still has that restraining order again.
Oh yeah. Well, that's part of the reason why I couldn't take him to rehab. But
you suggested it and he said, "Look, I need help. Like, I don't want Dan."
Phil. Why does he still work for this show? I don't get.
Just blame the higher ups. Blame who were they? I forgot who it was. What the powers that be?
The higher power.
The powers that be.
Yeah. Well, we're back after a long hiatus, and I am Iceman Dan, alongside my good buddy Otto Dizdar. Whatever you're calling yourself these days.
Iron Turk, yeah, something like that.
The artist formerly known as Otto the Giant. Kind of like Prince Iaukea back in the day.
Right.
Something like that. So,
let's hit the ground running here. I mean, we got to talk about Daniel Bryan's neck injury.
Oh, my God. I mean, you win the world title at WrestleMania. You get married to the woman of your dreams. Then your father dies. And then you find out you have a neck injury. I mean, yikes. Talk about going from, like, the ultimate high to the ultimate low in a matter of weeks.
Well, if I was him, I would have dated both of the Bellas. I would be like, screw it. It's a new age. I mean, I could take you both.
Well,
on.
It is 2014, and, you know, I'd say, with you know, it's a more liberal, progressive world we live in. It's more acceptable these days, those type of things. Certainly in Utah, they don't have a problem with that. So
that's a Mormon state.
Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, he could have married both of them if he became a Mormon and moved to Utah, is what I'm saying. Mm. Although John Cena might have a problem with that, but they could live as a foursome.
Well, that's true, yeah. Anyway, but back to Daniel Bryan's neck injury. I think, like, yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, but I think, like, the WWE... Did you happen to watch Raw the previous night on Monday? I know we're recording this on a Tuesday.
I did.
Like the day after, but did you watch it?
I did, and Stephanie said she expects Bryan to show up next week so she can strip him of the title, essentially. So we don't know if they're going to strip him of the title or if they're not going to strip him of the title and they're just going to let him recover from the injury and get back. But if he's out for... 6 to 8 weeks. 8 weeks, that's almost 2 months. Can the WWE be fined for 2 months without the world champion being defended on two pay-per-views? Honestly, I think they could, because the pay-per-views coming up are pretty worthless anyway. There is... So...
I mean, it's not the end of the world, basically.
Yeah. I would say, though, right now, this is... With Bryan being out, like... WWE needs to really make a call to CM Punk and try to kiss and make up with him. They really need him back right now. I'd say that this would be a perfect opportunity for him to come back because he would be the guy. Well, Daniel Bryan's out with an injury.
Well, here's the thing. Like, he's had no contact with WWE.
I know.
You know, he got frustrated with booking. He got frustrated with payoffs. I mean, he's happy now that he's not on the road and his contract is expiring in July. So, I don't think he wants to come back. I mean, well, why would he come back unless it's maybe on a part-time schedule?
And here's the thing that he also did, which very few people have ever done. He stuck it to Vince McMahon. He has been sitting at home still collecting a paycheck this whole time. Vince McMahon has not fired him. And I think part of the reason why is he fears Punk probably going to TNA. Or
No.
Well, maybe not, but...
Not TNA. I mean, his contract expires. I read some comment on a news page. It's like, well, Punk will let his contract expire, then he has to go through the 90-day no-compete clause. I'm thinking, okay, if a contract expires, there's usually not a no-compete put in because the contract is up.
The contract is up. It's not like he was released before his contract was up. His contract won't be renewed simply unless, of course, him and Vince can meet and work out a deal of some kind, which it doesn't look like at this point is going to happen. Now, Punk's options, if he decides to even return to pro wrestling, which maybe he won't, are obviously New Japan. There is AAA. That's an option. Ring of Honor, perhaps. Maybe even the new Jeff Jarrett promotion, if the money's right. I don't know what Punk wants to do. Maybe he just wants to be done. Maybe he doesn't want to wrestle at all anymore. I mean, supposedly he's in a lot of pain. He's probably enjoying his life right now, and he's healing up. So
right. I mean, back to Brian for a sec. I mean, it's not going to be the end of the world when you have, you know, your world champion not be defending the title either every night. But, you know, why not have him wrestle sporadically as champion, you know, making it a much bigger deal than it really is?
Yeah, and for the two pay-per-views coming up, what are they? And the next one is, Battleground or something? Or
Payback?
Or Payback, and then...
That's in Chicago, by the way.
That should be a good crowd, but no CM Punk, which stinks for Chicago. Payback, and so that's May, and then June's pay-per-view is what?
No, well, June's pay-per-view is Payback.
Oh, Payback, and then, okay, what is July's?
Money in the Bank, and that's on June 29th.
Oh, so they're doing the pay-per-views really close to one another.
Yeah, and you know, I know you hate that.
Oh, I hate that with a passion. But, yeah, we want Brian back and healthy by, you know, SummerSlam, because that's the money, that's the pay-per-view that people will actually pay to order at this, you know, this time of year. So, I mean, give Brian time off to heal and get him back in time for SummerSlam. And then you build something up for SummerSlam, because that's the pay-per-view. Yeah, nobody cares about these other pay-per-views. There's only, you know, at the end of the day, people care about the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and WrestleMania, and maybe Survivor Series, but Survivor Series has gotten so bad and unbearable to watch over the years that, you know, I don't care about Survivor Series.
Well, yeah, because WWE practically killed off that concept.
Yeah, I mean,
but then again, you know, the WWE stock, on the other hand, that was almost killed off. But
well, I mean,
it lost a crap ton in one day, and you know, they had the conference call, and then right after that, you know, the stock went down again. I think it's like $10 now, or like $10.32 or some shit like that.
Jeez, I mean. According to this article I pulled up, Vince McMahon lost an estimated of $350 million. He was worth $1 billion before this. So if you do your count, he's down about $700 million, some of that, which is still a lot of money. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, that's a big loss, and investors are not happy with him, and they're even called for his resignation. Could you?
Yeah. But I think the main reason for that fall, I got an article pulled up here from Fortune on CNN, is because of the TV rights deal that they had. I mean, people were expecting like they were going to get a lot more than they did.
Oh, in their renewal with NBC or whatever? They got
NBC Universal, which is owned by Comcast.
Ah, an evil company. But, I mean...
You don't use Comcast for cable anymore.
No, Verizon now.
Right.
I mean, also another factor was that the WWE Network isn't going to make as much money as they thought it was going to make. I think they're going to lose pay-per-view revenue, without question.
Well, DirecTV's not doing it anymore.
Yeah. So I mean,
do you know if Dish is still doing it?
I don't know. I have the WWE Network, so I don't know. But
Phil, look that up. Yeah, Phil, look up Dish Network WWE. Just Google it.
Network WWE.
We'll see. He's looking it up right now.
It would appear that they...
Okay, so it appears that they are not carrying pay-per-views anymore.
Okay, so Dish is not.
Dish is not... Well, Dish is not, because we know DirecTV doesn't.
Well, DirecTV was just bought by AT&T, so I don't know if maybe that'll change or not in the future, but it might be. Now, we certainly Comcast is still carrying them because Comcast owns USA, the network they're on, so I don't think that would, you know.
Is Verizon Fios still carrying them?
As far as I know, I believe they are. Yeah, they are. I know they're still carrying TNA.
Right.
So I would imagine, but Verizon Fios is. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they lost a ton of money. Could you imagine? I never would have thought this is how Vince McMahon's era could end as the chairman of the board of the WWE by simply being forced to resign because he lost the company a bunch of money. But maybe that's what will end up happening.
Well, the rights fees for their television didn't go up, and that's really the reason why the stock went down so much.
Yeah.
Then people are calling for some management changes. You know, this is part of what happens when you go public. You got a lot more masters to answer to.
Absolutely.
Now, it's not like it's privately owned anymore,
because
you got to answer to stockholders. You got to answer to like a board of directors now, who have to represent the stockholders.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we bought WWE stock, he does have to answer to us, but we don't have any. We might have to invest in that now. We should have invested in it like in our downtime, and then we could have sold it off when the WWE Network announcement went out.
That's true. We could have done that. Although you got to buy a good amount of stock to have a real voice, obviously. But
well, I think Vince like owns enough stock that he has like the final say on everything. He's got like the big.
He must still be the majority share owner. So even if he were to step down as the chairman, he'd still be the majority share owner. But he will not run the company day to day, I guess. Could you imagine? Like, I can't picture it. I mean, I always thought it would be he'd just retire, you know? But this could be forced retirement, something that, I mean, he's 68 years old. Get out, Vince. Go relax. Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Although,
well, here's one other thing that we also have to understand. Wrestling isn't exactly good ad revenue, in terms of that. They don't get a lot of ad revenue, and one of the things that the Wrestling Observer's Ben Miller said, and I got another thing here from the Sporting News, he says, quote, WWE viewers skewed toward less attractive demographics. Its audience spillover into other USA Network shows, and frankly, the networks may have been eager to send a message in response to escalating rights fees, close quote. Mm-hmm. So it's like, everybody was concerned about the whole rights fees, and while WWE doesn't make jack on ad revenue. Remember that contract when they went back to USA?
Yeah.
USA pockets all the ad revenue, so
and
there you go.
And WWE doesn't appeal to the... Remember in the 90s, during the boom period, when WWE appealed to pop culture, which it clearly doesn't anymore. It's not, you know, WWE doesn't anymore. Now there's, you know, little kids... Some still watch it. You know, maybe it appeals maybe to back to the days when pro wrestling were more redneck fans than anything else. And
well, it's also a lot of smart fans these days.
That's all there is. Yeah,
that's all there's left, really.
The smart fans that still watch wrestling, like hoping that it'll get good again, and they just keep getting disappointed year after year. Unfortunately. And it does get frustrating for older, you know, for you and I that have been fans for a long time. We watch Raw now more sometimes just out of habit more than actually.
Well, I didn't watch it last night. I actually read a book. I mean, there's a New Japan show coming up in like 5 days as of we're recording this. But, you know, even New Japan's kind of going a little bit downhill from last year. But that's not the point. The point is, you know, it's just smart marks and kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that on another podcast. It's like it's just smart marks and kids.
Yeah, and the smart marks are very critical of the product. Don't enjoy it much. Occasionally something good happens. I mean, the last time I feel like I really enjoyed wrestling again was when during the 2011 Summer of Punk. Of course, that had to get ruined when they threw Triple H in the mix, but that's some of the promo stuff between Vince McMahon, John Cena, and CM Punk was good. That was really good, and that was really entertaining, and it made me really enjoyed it. Like, that whole build-up for that Money in the Bank match was awesome. Like, that was so well done. But WWE, I mean, and who out there right now is really enjoyable? You know, Bray Wyatt is probably one of the few shining moments right now of the show.
Don't you think he's a bit of a babyface now?
Well, he's certainly getting cheered like one, but no, he's a heel. He's a heel, but
he's acting like a babyface these days.
Well, he keeps singing.
He says the name of the town, for God's sake.
And he sings, "I got the whole world in my hands." I mean,
and you know where that's from, though? That's from the night after WrestleMania. You know, the Raw after WrestleMania, where you have all the UK fans go over there. And
yeah.
Well, now I'm kind of kicking myself for missing Raw, because usually they're like the best fans that WWE has at the moment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's kind of like a soccer match over there.
Yeah. No, but I think Bray, what's great about Bray Wyatt, and I think I've said when we were doing the show last time I pointed this out, is that his promos seem very organic. In other words, he writes them himself. You can tell.
Actually, he doesn't, because did you see that one Deadspin article, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, where they revealed like a page of the WWE script? I guess it's just more of like, okay, this is what we kind of want you to say, but at least he puts his own spin to it.
I feel like his promos are more real than a lot of others. Like, that he obviously ad-libs a little bit, that clearly some of these promos that these guys are cutting are just, they're just reading it from a damn script, and it's awful. And, you know, back in the day, Steve Austin, the reason Steve Austin and Rock got so over with their promos is because there was organic. They were organic. They thought of that stuff to say, you know? And that's what you got to get back to, organic promos. Forget this scripted crap written by these writers that don't even know anything about the wrestling business. It's terrible.
Well, that's just preaching to the crowd, man.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, if you were to ask, you know, if you were to ask The Rock or Steve Austin, how did they get over it? They came up with that stuff themselves. It wasn't some guy in creative. Some guy in creative told The Rock, let's make you Rocky Maivia, the blue chipper. And it sucked. And some guy in creative told Steve Austin, let's make you the ringmaster. And it sucked.
No, they came up with the name Fang McFrost.
Oh, yeah.
Because he mentioned that on his show.
Yeah. But neither one of them, the stuff that was given to them by Vince or creative or whoever came up with that crap from the beginning, sucked. And they knew it sucked. That's why they said, I'm going to come up with something better on my own. And I'm going to become the big, you know, we're going to become the two biggest stars that this business has ever seen, which they did. So, and I think they say there's a lot of guys around that are, you know, walking on eggshells backstage in the WWE. I've heard Steve Austin say this even, and they're too afraid to take a chance now to do anything, to really step, you know, right now with Daniel Bryan out, guys like Dolph Ziggler, guys like The Miz, guys like, who's the talent out there that you know?
Kofi, maybe?
They need to step up to the plate and show what they got.
They're not going to the creative is not going to even bother to let them do anything, because they're not the chosen ones. The only reason Daniel Bryan got to be the guy is because the fans demanded it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and WWE didn't want Daniel Bryan to be the champion. They had no other choice because the crowd wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, they thought we'll bring back Batista and we'll make him the champion because, hey, everybody loves Batista, right? No. Nobody likes Batista. Batista draws real heat. In other words, he draws heat where it's not that people are booing him because he's a heel. They're booing him because he sucks, and he does suck. At this point, he's awful. As a babyface, he's terrible anyway. He can't cut a good promo. He's terrible in the ring. Batista's Batista's best as an asshole heel, and that's pretty much, that's his real life character anyway. That's kind of what his personality is. He's a jerk. And,
well, it comes off that way, but,
And you know, that's what they ought to let him do. Let him be a jerk. Let him be a jerky heel. At least he'll get heel heat that way. I mean, the Batista stuff is pretty good. Like, I think that was pretty creative by WWE fans. Hey, have you noticed that WWE fans have more recently become more creative with chants? I'm surprised.
Yeah, it is shocking because WWE fans are, like, terrible with that sort of thing. I hate WWE marks most of the time, but, you know, I think it's just Batista. It just comes off on the internet, and then, okay, there you go. You know, Bautista gets popular, and the best fans are in England right now. I mean, like you said.
Yeah, they're good. And New York City, if you ever get to go, if you know, anybody out there that's ever been to a show at, like, the Hammerstein Ballroom for, like, a Ring of Honor show, those are some of the best bands I've ever met in my life. And and Chicago's still got good fans. Our area sucks. Like, Baltimore and D.C., D.C.'s got some terrible fans. You know, they,
well, Baltimore used to be good.
Yeah, it used to be. But D.C.'s got some pretty lousy fans. I mean, you go every time we've been to a Raw event, you know, at the Verizon Center, the fans are terrible. So, so yeah, WWE right now, I mean, you know, what else is going on?
Well, CM Punk doesn't want to come back. I think we've already mentioned that. Hey, let's talk about Prince Devitt and Kenta possibly coming into developmental. And there's also been rumors Kevin Steen might be heading to WWE developmental.
Kill Steen, kill. Yes. All right, well, you take it away on Prince Devitt and...
Well, you've seen Kenta in person.
I have seen Kenta in person once at the Hammerstein Ballroom at an ROH show, and he took on Nigel McGuinness. It was a very good match. And I remember Kenta had some really stiff kicks. That's what I remember about it. And it was a really good match. So that's the one time I'd seen Kenta. He would be great. I mean, of course, WWE makes... Look how historically they've used everybody they brought in from Japan. Awful. Whether it's Ultimo Dragon, they didn't use him well. Remember the guy... What the hell was that guy's name? The baseball player. He sucked. They didn't do it.
You mean Kenzo Suzuki?
Yeah, Kenzo Suzuki. Even bringing Albert back from Japan. They totally have destroyed him.
Yeah.
Made him a joke.
WWE has a very poor track record with Asian wrestlers.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that What's-His-Face is still on the roster, but Yoshitatsu. But when was the last time he was even on a damn pay-per-view? So...
Well, he was on NXT doing ring announcing last time I heard.
Yeah. Was he funny?
I don't know. Yeah. He was on NXT. I don't watch NXT.
Yeah, he should probably it's amazing he's still with the company. Like they
yeah, but Prince Devitt, you would like him. You would really like him. You know, if you ever saw his stuff in New Japan, he was really good. Good eye flyer. He can, you know, get it done in the ring, you know, on the mat.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing with the Bullet Club and, you know, all that constant interference just got annoying, but he's actually a really good wrestler. I mean, he grew up with WWE, you know, watching WWE in Ireland, so his real name is Fergal Devitt. Huh.
Interesting. I mean, you've been...
Put it this way, if they put it with Sheamus, I've given up.
Okay. Well, you've been raving about this guy, and I've seen a little bit of him, and he's very impressive, and he is Irish, so I'd probably like him because I'm biased there. I just worry what the WWE would do with him. Supposedly he made a real big name for himself in New Japan, and you know WWE isn't going to allow him to – they're not going to market him as the guy that came – from New Japan that made a name for himself over there. Of course, they're going to change his name, make, you know, give him some stupid gimmick that you know, that may not work.
No, it'll be King Devitt.
Yeah, it'll be something ridiculous, you know. You know, it's a shame. Yeah, you know, somebody, Triple H needs to realize this, you know, realize that at the end of the day, if you're going to sign a guy that made a name for himself somewhere else, don't change him. Make him, you know, sell him for the star that he is and where he made his name. I don't get it. I mean, that's, you know.
Well, you know the whole deal with WWE. If you haven't done anything in WWE, then you haven't done anything. That's the way they do things over there.
Yeah.
It sucks.
You know, hopefully, though, if Triple H really does take things over, being that he was a wrestler, unlike Vince McMahon, that he, you know, that he'll change that philosophy. I don't know if he will. He probably won't. But he should, and you think he would be more understanding with that than Vince, who never actually set foot in the ring, as a, you know, at least except later in his life he did, you know. But Vince wasn't a guy that, you know, wrestled on the independent circuit. You know, before he became the mighty Triple H, he was once known as Terrorizing in WCW, and he was a jobber and he was nobody. So, I'm sure he's forgotten that a long time ago. But somebody needs to remind him of that one day.
He probably knows.
He doesn't care, though.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you marry the boss's daughter.
Yeah. I mean, he was terrorizing.
Yeah. Let's just make sure that people understand this. We are kind of biased against Triple H. I mean, even we'll admit that.
Yeah.
But we kind of have a good reason for doing so, because to us, I mean, to me, he'll always be Shawn Michaels' lackey. That's what I'll always see him as. I mean, you know, they bring back Evolution right after WrestleMania, and people on Twitter are like, "Holy crap, Evolution is back!" I'm like, "This is horrible. This is the worst thing that could have ever happened."
Because if
anybody saw Evolution the first time around, I remember everyone was complaining about every Raw from like 2003 to early 2005. In 2004 on Raw was pretty terrible.
Yeah, I remember that time period. Was WWE program was pretty hard to watch, and Evolution sucked, and it didn't draw money, it didn't draw ratings, it sucked. It was supposed to be the Four Horsemen. It wasn't the Four Horsemen, and they weren't even like the Horsemen. Triple H doesn't drink. He doesn't go to bars. He doesn't throw parties at hotels. He doesn't do anything Ric Flair did. You know, Ric Flair really lived that life. He talked about that insane life, and he's paid the price. He's broke. You know, how many ex-wives does he have? A bunch. You know, he has a son now that died of a drug overdose. I mean, yeah, Ric Flair paid the price, but he definitely lived that crazy life he talked about. He wasn't lying. Triple H, you know, was a square guy. He doesn't drink. He didn't do any drugs except maybe steroids, but that's why the clique kept him around. He was the wheel man. If you ever listen to Kevin Nash, he said, yeah, Hunter was the wheel man because he didn't do any drugs. So he drove them around while they all got messed up in some Winnebago they all had. I mean, that's basically what his relationship was with the clique back in the day. He drove them around so that they could all get fucked up on drugs.
Yeah, but the clique apparently liked him for his work.
Well, they did. They did, but he was kind of he was the wheel man.
You know, Jim Cornette was right about Triple H. He's the guy that works with the guy that draws the money.
Oh, yeah, Triple H never drew any money.
Yeah. I mean, Mick Foley put him over in 2000, but, you know, I think we've beaten this before, but, you know, just in case anybody new is listening, which is like one of you, we are very biased against Triple H, and, you know, just so you all know about that, but, you know, pre-first quad tear Triple H in 2001 wasn't bad. You know, I mean, he was, I would kind of see him as a gatekeeper to the main event. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's always been guys who have been gatekeeper wrestlers before, because you had, like, I think, like, Pedro Morales back in the day was a gatekeeper wrestler, because then you'd get to Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with being a gatekeeper wrestler. That's what Triple H really has been. But after the whole deal with his first quad injury, and then everybody found out that he's dating Stephanie McMahon, you know, he actually cheated on China to go out with her. And if you ever saw that one documentary on him, Thy Kingdom Come, which is pretty much... Dan, you've never seen it, right?
God, no. I have not watched it.
Let me put it this way. It's a propaganda piece.
Of course. Of course. I didn't believe it. I mean, Triple H... to me, I remember the match that I enjoyed the most about before the quad injury is the match he had with The Rock at SummerSlam when he beat him in a, like, was it a ladder match for the Intercontinental title?
Yeah. You mean 98? Yeah, SummerSlam 98?
I'd say that's one of his better matches if you want to watch a good Triple H match, but, you know.
Yeah, and the Iron Man match, I think it was in, what, May 2000?
With the, who was that with, The Rock?
The Rock,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably a decent one.
The one where the Undertaker debuted as Biker.
Okay, yes. And Shawn Michaels was a special guest referee, as I recall.
Yeah, it was in Louisville, I think.
Okay. But yeah,
it was like Fully Loaded or something?
But Triple H's big wrestle, other than the stuff that he did with The Undertaker, I guess, but The Undertaker was the reason those matches were decent, not him. And, his WrestleMania matches over the years have been pretty bad. I mean, I remember the one he had at 19 with Booker T. That match was awful. He no-sold the Harlem Hangover. It was terrible. And the only reason 20 was a good match, people were so happy to finally see him lose and Ben, you know, see him tap out to Benoit. But that's
Triple H, I mean, the both of us has never been that great of a wrestler to begin with.
No.
And you know, I mean, he's pretty much good when it comes to talent relations, but you know, you got Vince and he's like, "Oh, well, I don't know about this guy." I mean, Vince changes his mind too much because Triple H will say one thing and then Vince McMahon will try and do something else, you know, he'll like make a decision on something else or change his mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's going ballistic and everybody's liking the fact that he's like really doing well with developmental, but I mean, to me, it's still all that stuff that he did when he was a wrestler is going to overshadow everything he does as an executive.
I agree. And until he, you know, until he proves that he, you know, that he, you know, at the end of the day, listen to the fans, I guess. Listen to the fans. Yeah. Don't, you know, Batista sucks, Triple H. All right?
Well, they did listen, but they kind of had to, they kind of were forced to do that, just like they were forced to push Daniel Bryan. And by the way, that thing I was talking about, it was Judgment Day 2000.
Okay.
I have the WWE Network up on the TV.
Gotcha. You know, and look what Triple H decided to do because of his two buddies, you know, are floundering, Batista and Orton. Well, gee, we'll reform Evolution. That'll get him over. So, I mean,
that's it. We're going to reform Evolution.
I mean, Triple H needs to realize that people don't like Randy Orton. He's terrible. He's so...
Randy Orton is just stale. That's just his thing.
Yeah.
He's just stale.
Like, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, to, you know, it, you know, in this era, right? Okay, in Hogan's era, you know, who was his greatest opponent in the 80s? I would say the Macho Man. Okay?
I would say that Roddy Piper, maybe.
Yeah, but he never had that big match with Piper at WrestleMania, except WrestleMania 1. But I'm talking about as far as a one-on-one match of like the, you know, Hogan's best opponent. Our biggest rival, in my opinion, was the Macho Man, without question.
Well, you got to remember something. It always came to the fact that whoever Hogan was going to face at WrestleMania would turn heel right before that.
Yeah.
You know, he faced Roddy Piper, but that was a tag match at WrestleMania 1, yeah. You know.
But I would say that the greatest rival he had as far as talent, in-ring talent, without question, was Mach. And then you go to the era of Bret Hart. And Bret Hart's biggest rival was Shawn Michaels, without question. The Bret Hart-Shawn Michaels era. And then we go from there to the Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Rock era. So now we're at the John Cena era. And who is John Cena's, you know, greatest opponent, rival, whatever you want to call it? I would say Edge. I would say of all the feuds he had, I mean, I guess Randy Orton probably will get that credit. But I would say Edge was much better than Randy Orton as far as cutting a promo and in-ring talent. And the matches that he did have with Edge, the pay-per-views that they did, were much better than anything he ever did with Randy Orton.
Yeah. But then again, you know, Cena's good in that he knows what he's doing, but the problem is he's just not that great of a worker.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he basically is the WWE style. I mean, that's what everybody should wrestle as. Yeah. That's what the WWE wants everybody to wrestle as. And it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, the best promotions are where you just have variety, like with WCW back in the day, you know? Yeah, you had the Luchadors, and they were in the middle of the card, but it was like, it's like Kevin Sullivan said, it's a three-ring circus.
Mm-hmm. But would you agree with my assessment, though, that probably of his big rivalries, that Edge may was probably the most talented guy that he had big matches with? Or
that's a good question. Because Cena's matches are all just one big blur to me.
Okay. Well, that's true. They are kind of a blur, aren't they? Although, I guess Punk, to be honest.
Yes, I'm glad you bring this up. I think his best opponent was CM Punk.
Without question.
Not Edge.
Without question.
Because Punk actually could work, and he brought the best out of Cena. You know, Cena did his part, and he did his part good when he was wrestling CM Punk.
Yeah.
So I would think that CM Punk and not Edge is probably his best rival, if you will.
I agree with that. And you know what? You know what should have happened at WrestleMania 30, which really I was disappointed about? Because remember at the end of WrestleMania 20, we had that great moment with Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit standing in the ring together.
Do you want to know what I wished would have happened at WrestleMania 29?
What?
A three-way match between Cena, Rock, and Punk.
Yeah.
That way at least you put Punk in like the mainstream stratosphere.
Absolutely.
But then it's like, who's going to face The Undertaker? It's like, put someone in there. Who cares?
Should have offered Sting a bunch of money and done it then. I mean, to be honest.
Sting.
And
it's not Sting on the show. It's Sting.
But back to my point, what should have happened, and of course now that Punk is gone, we should have had that moment at WrestleMania 30 where you had CM Punk and Daniel Bryan standing in the ring together with Punk embracing his friend, guy that, you know, they've been on the, you know, they wrestled all over.
Yeah, I know where you're going with
like, this. We should be right now in the CM Punk, Daniel Bryan era of professional wrestling is where we should be.
Yeah, but Punk wants to go home.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
And who really doesn't blame him, really? And it's like, oh, well, it's just like, well, if you're at a job, I mean, what? You're going to, like, well, maybe not these days, but generally in an ideal world, are you just going to stick around at a job and just gut it out, or are you just going to quit and find a new one?
Well, it depends on your financial situation. And Punk's
Well, yeah, that's true.
Punk's financial situation's pretty good, it sounds like. He can afford to walk away. He doesn't care. So, I mean, no, that's why most people stick at a job they don't like necessarily, because they need the money. Let's be honest.
Right.
And Punk right now doesn't need the money. Although he might need the money if he's going to marry AJ. You know, I mean, you know how women are. They spend your money. So
you've gone to the Larry Zbysko school of courting.
I have. Yes, I have. But yeah, you know what? Another thing about Punk is to be honest, the Undertaker streak should have been ended by Punk. I think it was a mistake to have Brock Lesnar end it. A guy who, you know, is a part-time worker who isn't coming back anytime soon. Maybe he'll be at SummerSlam. I don't know. But you know why?
Oh, one other thing, Dan. It's not SummerSlam on the show. It's SummerScam.
SummerScam. Right. But, yeah, I think it's ridiculous how they, you know, it doesn't, to me, this whole thing doesn't make sense. Yeah, okay, we're going to end Taker's streak for some reason. But so.
Well, you know what Shawn Michaels said on Jim Ross's podcast?
What?
That decision was actually made 4 hours before the show began.
Wow. So Taker didn't necessarily agree. This wasn't something that Vince and Taker had planned out a weeks before, unfortunately, which I wish they had. I mean, what was Vince's decision? What was the point? I don't know. We don't know what Vince McMahon was thinking. He's the only one that can answer that question, and he won't. And of course he won't. So, and Taker won't, because Taker doesn't talk. So.
Right.
Who knows if we'll ever get the true story. Well, maybe we will one day. They'll make a DVD out of it, and they'll make a bunch of money, which they should.
Yeah.
That would be smart. But it should have been Punk that ended the Undertaker streak. It would have made more sense, and it would have elevated CM Punk.
Well, do you want to get off WWE for a while?
All right, let's jump down to Florida, or down to the Nashville. Our buddy Chris Rubin would say, the plane is now going to Nashville, and we'll talk a little bit about TNA. So
I don't watch it. I'm not commenting.
I know. Well, so what has happened in TNA since we've been away is they pretty much have copied. I don't know if you've read anything, but they've copied the
I know that Eric Young is the champion. I did see that, but I didn't see anything else.
And part of the reason why many people believe Eric Young is now their champion is because they basically have seen the Daniel Bryan thing, and they're trying to emulate that, which, to be honest, makes sense, considering Vince Russo was supposedly back at Creative, even though he is not they're not acknowledging that fact, but he is, apparently. So, and you know Vince Russo's philosophy. I'm going to watch something on television. I'm going to watch something, and I'm going to rip it off and call it my own. That's Vince Russo. At the end of the day, Vince Russo, his big idea to Vince McMahon is, why don't we copy ECW? That was his big idea. The man has no, to me, he's not, Vince Russo is not creative. I think he's one of the,
I don't know.
Don't care?
I don't know about that. Let's move on to something else. Ring of Honor.
Okay.
They had their War of the Worlds show, and from what I've heard, it was, like, awesome.
Well, it was at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which New York City.
Well, one complaint that I heard was, you know, the guys there, they cheered for the Japanese wrestlers, but didn't cheer for, you know, their big spots.
Well, they may not have known some of their big. They may not have known some of these stars. That's the problem. Mm. I mean, I feel like ROH fans generally do watch Japanese wrestling because they are definitely the smartest mark fans. That, you know, they are the elite fans of pro wrestling. They are the smartest ones in the room. The true ROH fans, I believe. From at least from my experience, and when I've gone to ROH shows and talked to fans at ROH shows, that they're pretty darn smart. Now, yeah. They don't necessarily.
I mean, they ran a show with some New Japan talent.
Yes.
You know, AJ Styles is IWGP champion.
Yeah, he beat.
Beat Kazuchika Okada, which I watched. It wasn't exactly that great of a match, but it was good. And they had with Michael Elgin. AJ Styles and Kazuchika Okada, I think Elgin took the pin, right?
AJ, yes. That is correct. And also, American fans got a little taste of what's-his-face? Oh, darn it. Where is it?
Liger.
Yes, thank you. Jushin Thunder Liger, who is probably one of the greatest Japanese wrestlers of all time. Legend. And he was defeated, though, by Adam Cole.
Right, but you remember first hearing when he had, I think, cancer, like brain cancer.
Jushin Liger? No, I
yeah,
didn't hear that.
I think it was some years ago.
He beat cancer just like
Kobashi did.
Yeah, as somebody put it one time, Kobashi gave cancer the burning hammer.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but yeah, from what I've heard, it's like that's a really good show.
What?
And we should have. That's what we should have done Saturday night.
Yeah,
we should have just plumped down the money for the iPay-per-view.
Yeah, we should have. You're right. Next time, definitely. I mean, yeah.
Ring of Honor actually has a standard pay-per-view coming up in June.
Yes, they do. It's going to be in, I believe, in Tennessee.
Right.
It's going to be in TNA's backyard, or at least
Nashville.
Yeah. That should be.
And basically, the big thing coming out of ROH is. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian is probably on their way, if not already signed.
And of course, and the other news out of ROH is they may lose a big talent in Kevin Steen, who looks like he may be about to sign, or if he hasn't signed already, a developmental deal with the WWE. And you know, Steen is a big guy. He's a big guy that can move. He's like he's kind of a heavy set guy, but he's really good in the ring. He can do high flying stuff. They call him Mr. Wrestling. He's originally from Canada. He cuts really good promos. I mean, I've been a fan of his for quite some time. Although, you know, we know how WWE would be. They want him to lose weight. They'll probably change his name. Maybe they'll change his gimmick. You know, he'll get the
Jim Cornette. I think Jim Cornette wanted him to lose weight, but he didn't.
Well, I mean, I don't think he needs to lose weight. Some guys don't need to lose weight.
Yeah, some guys can't lose the weight.
Well, that too. But I don't think, you know, he needs to lose weight. He's a good worker. Okay? You know, just because he's a little heavy set doesn't mean he can't work. I mean, there's guys that are in great. Remember Baracus? Remember that guy? He was in, you know, he's a muscle man, and he sucked.
So, yeah, Baracus, I remember that. He was, I think, in 97, it's like, Baracus is coming, and then he never showed up.
He never came. Because somebody realized he sucked, that he was all and he was all jacked up on steroids. Clearly,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, remember a guy like who was that guy from Australia? Big guy, everybody was kind of the guy was in prison.
Nathan
Jones. He sucked. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a bodybuilder, dude. You could be a fat. You can be kind of a look like the everyday man. I mean, Mick Foley, for God's sakes, is the everyday man, and Mick Foley's one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time.
Yeah. But they'll probably say that to Kevin Steen. You know, you got to lose weight and blah blah blah.
You got to lose weight. You got to take your Medicuts.
Well, what about the Iker Pro?
The Iker Pro! Lose some weight, damn it.
What about the Stacker 2?
Stacker 2, or whatever the hell, yeah, whatever crap WWE has hawked over the years that nobody bought. I wish Kevin Steen luck. What I think Kevin Steen will get the Chris Hero treatment, and he better learn from Chris Hero. He better have a better attitude about all of it, or he'll end up getting released just like Chris Hero did, and he's back on the indie circuit. So
yeah, I mean, several of those guys in ROH could go to New Japan.
Well, and Steen's been to Japan, so he could go there.
Yeah. Speaking of New Japan. Apparently, I've read that, you know, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Shinsuke Nakamura, who did work the ROH shows, their backs are really, really bad.
Mm.
And they like, when fans aren't around, they just can't move. Or they just move like old dudes. It's like, New Japan is like three guys in their developmental, and like, WWE has something like 60 or 70, so it's like, well, where are the new talent going to come from? But yeah, I mean, Tanahashi, who's like a really, really good wrestler. Nakamura is a good wrestler. But it seems as though their backs are just terrible. And then there's also, there's might be some concern about the G1 Climax Finals in this August 10th in the Cebu Dome. But the Cebu Dome actually doesn't have air conditioning, I've heard. And apparently the humidity in Japan is pretty brutal, like around here. So they could like pay some money to like get some air conditioning units.
Okay.
So.
Well, I think that, you know, with Japan, the one thing that they'll always have over America is the way they train the wrestlers. Those dojos. You always hear these great stories, you know, about the legendary dojos over there where these guys train. You know, people like Awesome Kong tells the story. She tells a story about how she had to mop the floor at a dojo and was trained to wrestle. I mean, that's one thing about Japan is that they've always trained these guys better than they have in America. They have a better system of training talent, I think. So I think that, you know, I think that they'll be fine with that. I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine, but, you know, it could be only a temporary period because, you know, last year New Japan was like the promotion. You know, I watched them more than I did WWE.
Yeah, seems that Noah has really dropped off, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's basically, if you remember what they were like maybe like 10 years ago,
yeah,
they are nothing like that now. And, Kenta's gone, and that's a huge loss because he's like one of their big main eventers. And, like, you know, his last show sold out well in advance, you know, and...
Well, the death of What's-His-Face probably really killed...
Masawa's
death really probably really hurt the product. I mean, he was the driving force behind that whole thing, without question.
Yeah, without question.
And, yeah, his death, Noah probably hasn't really recovered since.
Yeah, and Kobashi retired, so there's no, like, mainstream stars.
Yeah. Oh, I got a story to tell you. I went to, you didn't want to go with me, but I went Saturday night to a local independent show up in, I went to an Adrenaline Championship Wrestling show, and I watched an over-the-hill Tommy Dreamer take on an over-the-hill Shane Douglas, and it was sad to watch, to be honest, because these are two guys need to hang it up. They both look really bad. They're both out of shape. They both, you know, it was a terrible match. And I got to talk to Shane Douglas briefly. He was actually it's funny. Shane Douglas was actually a lot friendlier to me than Tommy Dreamer was. But then when the match started, you know, Shane Douglas was laughing and funny and friendly with fans. And then, of course, he turned on the franchise and he, you know, ran down the fans and he ran down the town and said everybody was a bunch of assholes and stuff. And I cheered because I love Shane Douglas. But and Tommy Dreamer was actually more of a jerk in real life than Shane Douglas. Surprise, at least in my opinion. Surprise.
How much do they have to pay to get those guys?
I don't know, to be honest, because both of them look like they're in pretty bad shape. And here's something interesting. Tommy Dreamer was with this black chick that was, like, collecting his money. You know, like I don't know if it's his girlfriend now. I don't know if maybe him and Buell have split up. Maybe that's why he's...
Nah, I don't think so. They would have came out.
Well, because I was thinking, I'm like, geez, maybe that's why he's back on the indie scene. Maybe Buell took half his money. But...
Hmm.
And he's got some kids, I know that. So,
right.
But he didn't look very happy to be there. Shane Douglas was actually like, he also reeked of booze, Shane Douglas. He had been drinking. Because when I shook his hand, I could smell the alcohol in his breath. But, another good thing. Here's something. Now, you want to talk about redemption? Jake the Snake Roberts was on this card.
I heard he looks great.
He looks fantastic. He looked like Jake Roberts looked amazing. Like, for his age and what he's been through, and this is a man who probably should have been dead a long time ago. And Jake Roberts looks like a whole new person. It's unbelievable how good he looked. And he gave a speech after the match. He talked. Jake likes to talk, clearly. He talked about his trials and tribulations and everything. And he talked. Somebody said he's talked about cocaine, and somebody said, shouted, "Cocaine's a hell of a drug," and he got mad. He's like, "Cocaine's a hell of a drug, huh?" And then he said, "You'll lose your family. It makes you lose your kids. You lose everything because you know." But Jake Roberts looks great. What a story there. I mean, other than that, this show was pretty lousy. Like, it wasn't a very good show. So. And it wasn't worth it. I will not go see Tommy Dreamer or Shane Douglas ever wrestle again. It was disappointing.
Where was this?
Where the hell was it? Eldersburg, Maryland, at some high school.
Eldersburg? Hold on, let me see where that is.
Carroll County, Maryland.
What is it, up Route 27?
It's about 50 minutes away. That's how long it took me to get there.
Oh, it's like right near Mount Airy.
Yeah, it's right near Mount Airy. Yeah, exactly. So, hey, let's touch a little bit up on this, Jeff, since we haven't been on the air in a while. There has been one big breaking story that's kind of like, I'd say, kind of the hot thing to talk about in pro wrestling right now.
It's on my way to Baltimore in the back road.
Yeah. But
that's where Eldersburg is.
Yes. But let's touch a little bit on this promotion that I'm excited about. It is that Jeff Jarrett has announced that he is launching a new promotion. And I'm excited.
I'm actually quite interested,
I'm excited because it's another promotion. It hopefully there's money behind it. It sounds like there is, and they got a television deal. And it'd be interesting to see who they go out and sign.
Yeah.
I mean, supposedly.
Well, they actually have, believe it or not, they actually have a working agreement with AAA.
And I know you listen a lot to MLW radio with Conan. And I'm sure, I think...
Yeah, right now, I don't think they have a lot to really say at this point.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're still working on some things. But I think El Rey Network is actually on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have it here on Comcast or whatever. But, you know, we'll see.
I think what we're going to see happen is people that are unhappy in TNA, we're going to see a lot of them end up in this promotion. If it gets off the ground, you know, if there's money and it gets off the ground, I think we could see guys like, you know, especially guys that were in TNA that probably were quote-unquote Jarrett guys, they'll end up in this promotion. Like, so maybe we'll see, like, Petey Williams. Maybe we'll see Sanjay Dutt. Maybe we'll see Bad Influence. Maybe we'll see AJ. You know, I mean, maybe...
Who knows?
Maybe those guys are going to go to this thing and say, to hell with Dixie Carter. Because, you know, Dixie Carter is a horrible promoter. I think she is one of the worst things that ever happened to pro wrestling, in my opinion. I don't know. What's your take on Dixie Carter? You don't really have one?
The less said about her, the better.
You don't like her?
No.
Okay, I don't either.
I just don't like her.
There's nothing you like about TNA's product?
I used to like TNA's product right up until Hogan came in.
But it's gotten a little better. I was kind of enjoying this MVP thing, but they already turned him heel. So I don't know. But at the end of the day, he's just a gimmick. He doesn't own the company and he doesn't run it. So.
Right.
But I don't know. The only thing I want to see, I want to see Jeff Jarrett smash the guitar over Dixie Carter's head for real. That's what I'd like to see happen. But that obviously will never happen.
Right.
But so we're excited about the Jarrett promotion, though. That could be something.
Yeah, I mean, that could be something. I mean, we don't know. I mean, at least he's got something with, like, AAA.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting.
I mean, so I actually like that, and I actually like the fact that AAA is probably coming to the States. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah. I've noticed that I've read stuff that Jarrett's out on the indie scene right now, working indie shows. My guess is he's looking for talent to recruit, I'm sure. So that's probably what he's doing.
Yeah, something like that.
But it's going to take...
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah, and it's going to take time, because the promotion is... It's like going to launch supposedly December or January. So it's still a few months away.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Do you go with, unknowns to start off, or just a sprinkling of stars?
I think you need to get a couple of stars, and then you get some unknowns. I think you need a combination of both. You don't just go with old WWE rehash crap. If you go out and sign Mick Foley and Rikishi and whoever the hell else is out there, that nobody gives a shit about, washed up guys that aren't in the WWE anymore, you're not going to get anywhere. You got to have young talent that are exciting to watch. You get people.
Right.
You get people to tune in to see Mick Foley, but then they see a match between Petey Williams and Sanjay Dutt,
or some unknown guy, or like Iceman McFrost versus Danny McMichaels or something
like that,
and they'll like them.
You got to get some named talent to at least get people to tune in, but you don't build it around washed up talent. That are still living off their accolades, like TNA has tried to do many times, and it never works. It hasn't worked. So,
right.
And hopefully, Jarrett has learned lessons from TNA, and if he's learned lessons from TNA, then...
Everything that I have heard points to the fact that he has...
Yeah. Well, that would...
Well, I don't know if it's fact or anything, but everything points to that he has learned from TNA. And plus, he's very, there wasn't a lot of money being spent when he was there,
Yeah, Jarrett before the Carters bought it, Jarrett was going broke, so he didn't have a lot of money to spend. He was going bankrupt. I mean, that's why he had to sell to the Carters. And, hell, the Carters, Dixie was supposedly bankrupt in the company. Back then, I who was it? Jerry Jarrett claims he once got a phone call from Bob Carter or something, claiming that you got to do something about the spending. And he said, "Well, talk to your daughter, Bob. I don't have anything to do with the spending anymore." So I don't know if Jerry Jarrett's telling the truth or not. Who knows? Sounds like he's pretty bitter these days, and he's got an axe to grind with his son, and he's got an axe to grind with TNA, and he's got an axe to grind with the Carters and everybody else. So. Because him and Jeff Jarrett don't have a good relationship anymore, apparently. So, anyway. Who knows?
We've almost gone an hour,
Well, it is the anniversary of the Macho Man's death 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost, broke Twitter, I guess.
Oh, my God, that was devastating. And then...
That was devastating.
And then this... Since we haven't been on the air since it happened, the bizarre death of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Have you seen the Warrior documentary on WWE Network? Oh, and by the way, one more thing before we get to that. Bill Goldberg's on the Ross Report this week.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I just got it downloaded.
Oh, God.
Speak.
You know how Jim Ross gets when he talks to somebody from Oklahoma. How many times?
Yeah, you just realized that.
Yeah. You know how many times he's going to mention Oklahoma? Well, if he says Oklahoma, here's the thing: we need to do a drinking game for this podcast. Every time Jim Ross mentions Oklahoma to Goldberg, you take a shot. So.
And if Jim Ross complains about the product, drink your beer.
Oh, he'll complain about the product. He does every week.
Yeah, you know what? Doesn't it feel like some of his ideas are outdated? Like he's kind of lost touch with the modern product?
Yeah. Well, JR was never a booker anyway. So, his strong suit was being an announcer. Clearly, he doesn't, nobody ever thought he was very creative, probably. So, that's fine. But his strong, Jim Ross... In some ways, I think he has an axe to grind. I can tell he seems a little bitter about what went down. And you know what? I think he has a right to be mad. I don't think he should have been fired for what happened. It wasn't his fault that Ric Flair got drunk and,
Well, what'd you expect? It's Ric Flair.
Yeah, and his son had just died of a damn drug overdose. So what the hell was he doing there anyway? Back on the road, you know. I mean, that was a mistake to bring him there. So
whatever.
Yeah, I want.
We've gone an hour. Phil's like saying he wants to get out of here.
Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to touch on. Shoot. Ultimate Warrior DVD. Oh.
Oh yeah, the Ultimate Warrior. Go back to that. Yeah. Have you seen the Warrior documentary?
Yes, I did. It was really good.
Yeah. Hard to believe they came up with that in like a week.
Well, they obviously were planning on releasing that anyway because they were filming it. So.
Yeah.
The part that really touched me was when Vince. Was when it seemed legit. Ultimate Warrior gave Vince that the little engine that could book, and when he was signing it, you know, he said thank you, Vince, and he actually started to cry. Like, and then Vince, that's you don't see Vince cry much, but Vince that really touched him. Like, it seemed like he really, really was touched by the Warrior giving him that book for some reason.
Yeah,
like I don't know, like. It was a human moment with Vince McMahon, which we don't see often because most people don't think Vince is human.
So, yeah.
But I guess he is.
Yeah. I guess he is.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I thought it was very sad, and it made me respect the Warrior a lot more. I think the Warrior wasn't as bad of a guy as he was portrayed in that DVD. I think that.
You mean the self-destruction DVD?
Yeah, I think there were far...
Which I have, by the way.
I think there were far worse people than Warrior in the business. I think Shawn Michaels was probably more of a piece of shit back in the day than Ultimate Warrior was. But Shawn's now changed and is a better man. But Shawn was a piece of crap in the 90s, you know, and a drug addict. Like a Warrior wasn't a drug addict the way Shawn was.
He seemed more of a... what is it? He seemed like more of a workout freak.
Yeah, I think Warrior was a weird guy that people just didn't understand, but I don't think that meant he was... I don't think he hurt anybody. Like, I don't think he was a... I don't think he went out of his way to bury people. I don't think he went out of his way to hurt people's careers the way Hogan did, obviously. And I think there's a reason why Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man got along so well, and both hated Hulk Hogan. You know?
Yeah.
Because they realized he was a lying scumbag. And they weren't. You know? Like, they were honest. Like, Warrior and Mach were honest with each other. And that's why Warrior, when he, you know, when Mach died, watch it. Remember, did you ever watch him talk? Like, Warrior was holding back tears. Like, he really respected the Macho Man.
Yeah.
He definitely didn't respect Hogan at all. So... But at least him and Hogan, I guess, made their, you know, made peace, supposedly.
Yeah.
So, whatever. A happy ending, and then a very sad ending for the Warrior.
Oh. Yeah.
Well.
We have to get out of here. Phil's, like, begging us to get out of here. Well, not begging, but he's, like, banging on the window.
All right, well, bear with us, folks. Next week we will have more of an organized show, because we just brought this thing back. But we'll be back.
Why were we out for 5 months again?
We were creative differences with management. How about that?
That works. Creative differences with the powers that be.
You and I were dealing with creative differences for the last 5 months, and we finally worked out those creative differences.
Yeah. Creative finally had something for
exactly.
us.
Exactly. So we will be back next week. And we will be back the week after that and the week after that and continue to talk about a subject Otto and I enjoy, pro wrestling. So.
Yeah, or sports entertainment.
Whatever the, you know, that's what Vince McMahon calls it. I still call it pro wrestling. I don't care what Vince McMahon says. I don't answer to Vince McMahon. This show doesn't answer to Vince McMahon.
Right. Well, I guess that'll be it. Phil, you want to get out of here?
Goodbye.
Okay.
All right, well, good night, Wash. Good night. Pro wrestling.
Good night, world.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, I need to send you this after we're done.
Okay.
You. Okay. All right. Let's get out of here.
Bye.